Well, let's throw another log on the fire that is Boston sports right now, and that is Rob Bradford. I just let that stand alone because
it's a really big log.
It's a big log. It's poorly dressed.
Oh,
he
come
might
on.
Listen. He busts my balls. He goes out in public. He covers games at Fenway Park where he looks like the guy carrying the weed for Don King. He's got the striped jump sweatpants on and
Brad Bradford
and the sunglasses and all that. I busted his chops on that.
Some of the best reporters are the most poorly dressed. Peter King is a hoodies kind of guy.
Right. And
Ron Borges used to wear like those, those one like look.
Did those guys ever do commercials on the radio for a clothier that they've known since they were in short pants that could dress them?
Okay, touche.
Thank you.
Hunter Thompson used to wear nothing.
There's a line there, but I'm going to let it go. Because Bradfoe ended up talking to Xander Bogaerts again, and I think they did it right near the speakers near Fenway. They did it.
Lou, the floor is yours.
Nothing will top that. It gives us a reason to play it. It makes us laugh every time. But Bradfoe talked to Xander Bogaerts. And Andy Hart, I want to get your thoughts on this because – we talk a lot about the mentality of the players, the mentality of the athletes. How about this from Xander Bogaerts on trying to mentally get over the hump of not only everything that's going on with this team, but also his contractual situation as well?
When did mentally you get over the hump, like with everything?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Do they have it? Still have it? No.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I try, you know, and it's like, oh, you have a four-hit game, oh, you forget about it, you know, and then the next day you go over four, you're back to zero again. You're it's just a lot of ups and downs. And
is that because of your contract and future and stuff? Or?
Yeah, and also not playing good, the whole team. That was not helpful, I would say, for my case. Yeah, I'm just speaking for myself. It was not. It just made it a lot more, you know, tougher because obviously we had more bigger expectations than definitely what we are right now.
What do you make of that? Do you think that's more team or individual after listening to Xander respond to Rob's question?
I think it's the two combining. You know, I think that's what he's saying is if it were winning, if we were in the playoff hunt, maybe I'm not thinking about my situation, but team goals dissipated quite a while ago.
So I wonder, and that's the thing, the team goals really, as you say, dissipated first, second week of August.
Yeah. So and now then, you're left with just
thinking about your personal situation.
Your lot in life.
But then again, it's not like Xander Bogaerts, who has not had a terrible year by any stretch.
No.
The average is up. He hasn't hit as many bombs, and I kind of get that. And that might be explained because of the team and the lack of performance this year and all that. But I do find it interesting that when everything wasn't in doubt, because I think Xander Bogaerts knew going into the year that his contract was going to be in doubt because, well, he controlled the situation in a lot of ways because he has the opt-out. He's waiting for them, all that kind of stuff. But I would have thought at least for the first 4 months, whenever the Red Sox were allegedly in it or at least trying to convince themselves that they were in it, that it wouldn't weigh on his mind. That it wouldn't because, yes, they did get off to the bad start, but then they surged and they had a great month of June. And to think that he has been in a weird mental place all year long, it just doesn't compute to me unless it really is tied into his future.
Oh, but it is. It has to be. He likes it here. He is a special person in this organization over the last decade, right? He has made himself the captain of the team, the clubhouse guy.
He's been anointed. He was anointed the guy to take over after Poppy left.
And you look in the stands and you see all the number two jerseys. He's popular with the kids. He likes that relationship with the fans and that tie to Red Sox Nation, quote unquote. And he's a human being. And as much as we always try to say these guys are robots or they compartmentalize, no. They're human beings. They think about, where am I going to be next year? Like, not that it's I'm not going to make any money or I'm out of work. Not that.
It's not, where's my next meal coming from?
No,
or where's
but it's
my
more,
next job? But it's, hey, what's the future of my life?
Right. And will I be as happy there?
Right.
Maybe he's even torn with getting leveraged here. Maybe they think he wants to be here so they can use that in their negotiations. And he's thinking, I don't want to be a pushover. I do kind of want to be here, but they were sort of disrespectful with their offer. I'm not just going to take whatever they hand me because I want to be here when I know there's a lot of money and other offers that'll be on the table. So But the disappointing thing is these clouds hang over people. I wrote the column the day I did the show with you from Cask, the home opener.
Okay.
I wrote a column
about that.
There was going to be this business black cloud hanging over Fenway Park all year because of Bogart's first, Devers second. That idea. Business was infringing upon your ability to enjoy your two star players. He is part of that. But let's look at Aaron Judge. Business was hanging over his shoulders. And what did he do? Went out and had one of the best seasons in the history of baseball.
Nope, no question.
Lamar Jackson has business hanging over him. What did we see last week? He's going out and having one of the best seasons through 3 weeks that he could possibly have.
Blue doors.
Xander didn't really do that. He hasn't been terrible. Defense is better. Power's down. Average is fine. But he hasn't just blown doors off and had the best season of his career putting business to the side. So, yes, I absolutely believe he's a human being. He likes it here. This has been hanging over his head all season.
Yeah, this next part is really going to bother some people. Because we're almost at the end of the regular season. And look, I went into the year thinking that Xander Bogaerts was definitely opting out. I really thought there wouldn't be much discussion during the year, in part because, well, that isn't the way Scott Boras operates. And I think if there's one thing that the Red Sox organization has been able to have a pretty good handle on during these negotiations or handling Boras clients is that it seems like the Red Sox play relatively nice with Scott Boras. There are a lot of organizations who are like, I don't want to deal with the guy.
Right.
And then you kind of have to if you want a premier player because a lot of premier players are represented by him. But I thought this was going to be a long play the whole year. And I've always said, he who has the money has the control. Because if the Red Sox want to come in and say, you know what, Xander, our first offer stunk. Here's 6 years and $175 million.
Show me the money.
They can stroke the check to make him stay if he really does want to stay. So I do believe the Red Sox still have control of it. But when Bradfo asked Xander about the latest of the contract, well, it's kind of status quo.
Any talks?
No, not yet. I haven't had any weird feeling or like, oh, you know, soak in the moment.
Any talks?
Oh, no. So far? Just trying to
just like we did last podcast.
I know.
And at the All-Star break, every time I ask.
There's still 9 games left. So who knows what happens. 9 is a lot, but.
Now, as much as I thought it was a long play, that doesn't mean running the organization. You don't take your chances. It was very loud there. I don't know where Rob gets these guys, but I would have thought that the Red Sox might have taken another kick at the can. And again, they do have the benefit of time, but it is running out. And as soon as you get to free agency, you lose your ability to control the situation. Are you a little surprised, even at this late a date, that they haven't tried to come back and throw something, even if it isn't enough, at Xander?
No. I think if you throw something at him now, it's more like what you just talked about. We want you here. This number that I'm sliding across the table makes it obvious we want you here. We actually know you want to be here, whether you want to admit it through your negotiations or not. I don't think you put another middling offer or step-like offer, process offer. Yeah. If you make an offer now, I think you should make an offer that he wants to sign. Like that you're pretty confident this is a number he will sign.
Offer him the Trevor Story contract.
No, I would go north of that. I would go north of that because I think that's a part of this topic too. I think if you do anything equal to or lesser than Trevor Story, he says, we're doing this again? Really? You're going to go there? You're going to make me do this? I think you need to go north of that deal. But I would only offer a deal right now that I was pretty confident he would like.
Yeah, and there is the crippling fear, I guess, if you are Chaim Bloom, that, well, they're just going to take that offer and run to free agency and go get a better one.
Okay. But do you want the guy?
Well, and that's the thing. Do the Red Sox know, or are they taking for granted that Xander Bogaerts has such good feelings here that when they do come with a real offer, that he'll be responsive to it? Or do they worry that the agent, as I mentioned, just takes it and kind of runs with it and sort of shops him around to other teams? Because I know the context of this conversation has changed, and a lot of people don't want to admit it. But at the beginning of the year, the number $30 million a year was thrown around almost on every talk show. I think we can all agree that is a very high number.
Sure.
Now, that probably would be the number that might bowl him over to 100% definitively get him to stay here. But in their mind, I do think it affects the Devers negotiations. But it doesn't mean you still don't try. And I thought, unless there's something coming this week or early next week, I would have thought they would have circled back around to at least put something better out there than what was essentially pick up your option and we'll tack on 1 year at $30 million for you.
Yeah, and maybe this is dumb. Tell me this is dumb if you want. So there's 9 games left or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Would you, like, and I know injuries are part of all sports, but let's just say they were willing to go, because I remember throwing around in my mouth 5 and 150, $30 million a year for the next 5 years, $150 million. So let's just say you're even willing to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And you, boom, tonight, the announcement hits everywhere. But Red Sox have reached an agreement with Xander Bogaerts, 5 and 150. And let's just say he tears his ACL tomorrow in the eighth to last game of the season. Is there any, like, just looking really, really bad? Like, what was the point of signing it then? Why not just wait till the season ends? I don't know. It's just this weird thing in my head.
No, that's not a silly point at all, because if you're Xander Bogaerts, I wonder if there is that part of you that is like, okay, maybe I should sit down. Or, hey, Skip, back's acting up.
Yeah.
You know, oh, my arm is cranky kind
like,
of thing.
He's almost a free agency. You're almost to the end of the year. And it would just be a weird situation. So I just feel like we didn't come this far to only come this far. You might, both sides, I feel like, would just want to finish it out. If I'm Xander, you pushed me to this point. Why would I sign it?
Well, I wonder, boy, I wish we could get a real answer from Heim Bloom on sort of the vibe that he has gotten from Xander's camp. Because when you talk to the player, right, you're never going to negotiate with the player. You're trying to make sure that the player has good vibes here, that he trusts you. It's about you develop the personal relationship with the player to be able to deal with the business relationship with the agent.
Right.
And I wonder sort of where all of that is at. I wonder if the personal relationship with Heim Bloom is good enough for him to at least have a clue outside of what Scott Boras thinks. Because the agent's job is to get the player paid. Mm-hmm. Scott Boras might be the best in any sport of getting guys paid, whether they're in their prime or clearly on the back nine. That guy gets dudes money. That conversation is going to be different than the one that he might catch the vibe from Xander Bogaerts.
Sure.
But given the fact that we've seen Christian Vasquez traded, there was a little dust up when Pulwecki got plucked out of the clubhouse. Rich brought this up, and it's a decent point. You know, what's the confidence level of those guys in the room with Heim Bloom to where it might just be a futile exercise, and maybe Bloom knows that. That's the part of this that is driving me nuts, because I want to know from at least a relationship standpoint that the general manager has a gauge on not only the room, the clubhouse, but those key guys that he's got to try to turn around and go sign. Because I guarantee what he hears from Boras is different from Xander. But yeah, if that relationship with the player is solid, you can trust that intel while Boras is trying to get the most amount of money.
And if the player's relationship with the GM, president of baseball, two-way street there. Two-way street of trust and communication.
No
and
question.
Even if they both understand the business of it and those layers. I would say the other question I would have, and you said it, whatever the perceived $30 million a year, mm-hmm. What is Heim Bloom's view of Xander Bogaerts' value on the open market? What is Scott Boras' view of Xander Bogaerts on the open market? And which guy is closer to reality? Which mm-hmm. guy is closer to current, modern, Major League Baseball reality? Because Xander's had a good year, not a great year. Somebody was giving me, best offensive shortstop, and yeah, good year.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, got
he's
it.
Having a good year. He's a good shortstop.
Right.
But is he the best offensive shortstop in baseball that you're comfortable paying $30 million to for the next 5 years? And a lot of people started this season with, I can actually kind of understand why they're not all in on Xander. He's a little older. The power numbers are
down. It's much more divisive than it's led to be, right? Like, fans, we're never lined up with calls of people screaming, by God, I'll get rid of my season tickets if you get rid of Xander Bogaerts. But then you get the guy who says he's the best offensive shortstop in baseball.
Whereas Devers, I think everybody's like, you can't let him go. I'm a fan. I'm a media guy. I'm a businessman. How could you possibly let Devers go? It's a different
narrative.
Big Poppy
loves Devers.
Right.
He's got to be here.
And he's young, and he's power, and the whole package of everything. So I think the Xander thing is really interesting, but the bottom line is what you said. What's his real value to this team and then to any other team?
To me, if it's
25,
that's where I'm at. 6 years, $150 million, that's a fair offer. If he says no, then the Red Sox have not disrespected him in any way.
I would do
that. He's not a $30 million a year player. That was a typical overreaction. And quite honestly, fans always overpay. You know, general managers don't listen. It's the whole, if you act like a fan, you'll be sitting with the fans, that kind of thing. Now, I don't think Bloom looks at him, and I think they tried to get one by him. The whole, hey, we'll give you the one for 30, but if you just pick up the rest of your thing, then we're in good shape. That was the, okay, let's see if they bite sort of deal. Because I know Rich and I disagree vehemently on this. I still think he who has the money has the power. And if we hear that it's a hard and fast 6-year, $150 million deal, they talk John Henry into going up to the whatever the number is, or Heim Bloom has settled on that $25 million a year, to me, that's right in the neighborhood. It's just a little worrisome to me, given what we have seen from the Pulwecki stuff and things like that. I just wonder if Heim Bloom doesn't value the clubhouse. And I'll give you a quick example. Willie McGinest. When Willie McGinest was a free agent, Bill Belichick let him go to Cleveland. You could argue that Cleveland maybe overpaid him to get him, and that's fine and all that. But at that time, Bill Belichick, in my opinion, did not value the leadership that was there with that guy. And that's where he could have put a dollar amount on that and decided not to and just looked at it as, this is what he is as a player. This is all I care about. For some of these guys, it's more than that.
That's interesting because I think he has put a dollar amount on that more recently with guys like McCourty and Slater when he's re-signed them.
He learned his lesson.
Are above their actual playing ability at this point.
I would agree.
In their careers.
I would agree.
But the flip side of the Bloom thing, I would argue, because he's had some snafus with trades, with roster moves, with clubhouse, I don't think he should be looking at it, well, I got to buy back the clubhouse. And if I overpay Xander, I can buy back the clubhouse. Again, I think that's just as bad as thinking like a fan, you'll be with the fans.
Yeah.
If you're deviating from your value, your plan, your metrics, because, uh-oh, I feel weird because they don't really respect me, you're toast either way, so I wouldn't do that. But the 6 and 150, I would do, because I was at 5 and 150.
Yeah,
you're above Story. You give him his locker
you're
room
above
hierarchy.
Story, but you're
whatever.
Not screwing up your negotiations with Devers.
Correct.
Because
so,
that, to me, is in the back of their mind. Whatever we do with Xander, it's going to affect what we do with Rafi.
And maybe the two of them combined, you sign to $450 million worth of contracts over the next, whatever it is, 6 months.
Good
and I'd
grief.
Be a happy Sox fan.